So, Hare Krishna, we will start our evening program now. It will be the last program which I will be able to hold tomorrow at a quite early time. We will leave by airplane to Zagreb, and then I will go to Venice. And we will now start with the magical box. It's here. And our friend the bee is eager for nectar. You can see. After this, at around 8 o'clock to 8:15, there will be a little pause. A pause in which the theater crew will establish the stage, and I hear it's a wonderful theater play. And after the theater, we have a very interesting program of bhajan, presents, and we will talk about a new center in Sarajevo. Let us see. And then at the very end, we have the master of pasta working on a pasta which will be offered to Lord Chaitanya and Nityananda and Shishi Radha Govinda. So, Hare Krishna. Now we will come to the magic box. Is it called magical box? It is, we did this exercise a few times now with some of our God brothers, and it was always, sometimes devotees said it was the most fascinating part of the program, but here I'm only alone, and I can promise to you I will give my best to give answers to your questions which you have put into the box. I feel a little bit on the hot chair. Hot chair means it's smoking. And you have to give good answers. So, Hare Krishna. Has to be shaken well. So. This is the first question. How can an idealist in Krishna consciousness, after meeting obstacles and facing with his limitations, continue to follow high ideals? Or maybe, should he set his ideals on a lower platform, being satisfied with average aspirations? Very good question. Nama Om Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prasthaya Bhutale Srimate Bhakti Vedanta Swami Niti Namine Namasate Gauravani Bajarine Nivesesa Sunyavari Haskatyare Sadarine Jaya Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Sri Advaita Gadadhara Vasudhi Gaur Bhaktavinda Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare. So this was the first question. What should an idealist do who started with the most highest aspiration and ideals, but who has come in his life to some very realistic obstacles? Should he continue to keep his high ideals alive, or should he maybe take them a little down. There are ideals which you should always keep alive and always in the highest position of your life. And there are also ideals which are false. An ideal which is always correct and which you should always keep in front of your eyes is that you can go back home, back to Godhead. Because Krishna promises so. I remember Srila Prabhupada's initiation letters, and I always in hard times keep these as my own ideal. He said to me, "You are a very intelligent boy." I am not. I know this by now. I've made so many mistakes in my life. And if you just keep the four rules and regulations for the whole life, and chant 16 rounds every day, you will go back home, back to Godhead. It's an ideal which I always keep in front of my eyes. And I have trust in this because Krishna can make the impossible possible. But there are other ideals which I think are false ideals. For instance, I thought I could be in my life a very intelligent manager. I have made by now so many mistakes that I have given up this ideal. I think I will never become this, nor do I think it is necessary. There is something. There are other ideals. I have thought that the society of Krishna consciousness is the ideal society, and there will never be any quarrels. There will only be loving dealings. There will be no scandals like the Kamis have. I have seen that this is a false ideal. We are human beings like everyone else who are trying to serve Lord Krishna. So, please keep the spiritual ideals in your life alive and correct those ideals which may just be your wishful thinking and your projections. This was the first question. Hope I don't destroy the beautiful magical box. If we will have such associations all the time, without interruption, what attitude should we have to not lose such association? The devotee seems to ask here that such association like our winter camp is wonderful, and it would be nice if this association continues. And he is worried that maybe there's something which can keep, which can help, or which can be responsible that the association amongst devotees is not so fruitful in Krishna consciousness. What you must absolutely avoid if you want to keep a good association amongst devotees is offenses against devotees. Krishna can never forgive if someone does offenses, even if that person is his own son. You must know, when Varahadev took the planet Earth out of the ocean after Hiranyaksha, the demon had put the earth onto the ground of the Garbhodakashaya ocean. Mother Earth felt very, very happy to be close to the Lord. She felt even highly attracted, like a woman feels attracted to a man, and she desires we are so intimate. You are carrying me. Can you give me a child? And Varahadev followed Mother Earth's request, and as a result of the combination between Varaha and the Earth, Boma was born. Now Boma was the son of the Lord and the Earth, and he was extraordinarily strong and intelligent. However, later he had bad association with demons, and he lost all his good qualities. He actually became a womanizer, and he hunted 16,000 highly noble girls to put them into his harem. Hare Krishna. These girls later prayed to the Lord, please liberate us from this demon who violates our chastity. And Krishna appeared. He came with Garuda before the doors of that prison-like palace, and he challenged his own son. Let these princesses go. No, said his son. Who are you to tell me? Yes, I'm Krishna, said Krishna. Fight and don't waste many words, said Bhomasura. Then Krishna easily killed Bhomasura because he had become a demon by bad association. So if a devotee begins to hurt other devotees and commit Vaishnava aparads, at that moment the association with devotees will become materialistic. Krishna will leave that devotee. He cannot forgive this. Have you noticed in this winter camp we have not quarreled? Maybe in the kitchen a little bit, how much salt should be put into there. But generally we have not quarreled. Have you noticed that during the winter camp we have talked about Krishna a lot? And we have chanted a lot? This is what devotees are meant to do. Talk about Krishna, chant about Krishna. If we do this, our association will be very ecstatic. If we don't do it, and we allow ordinary mundane trash to enter our association, soon this will lead to groovy behavior, and we will commit Vaishnava aparads. So please, let us keep a nice service attitude amongst the Vaishnavas. Let us enlighten each other, and I will talk a little bit more about this. Dragi Maharaj, kako prepochnati ovo guru ibiti siguran da je on tvoj guru. This means we can recognize our spiritual master by a few indications. General and specific. General, he should follow his spiritual master, that is Srila Prabhupada, and he should represent the Sampradaya, that is the particular school in which he has taken initiation. He should not only talk, but give an example. And he should be situated on the spiritual platform. These are general qualifications. Specific qualifications, and I think you were asking about this, is that when we come in contact with our spiritual master, he inspires us in a way in Krishna consciousness that we can overcome obstacles which were previously difficult for us to overcome. We should further look if this continues. In other words, it may be that one particular devotee inspires us in the beginning, but later we do not receive any inspiration from him. At that time we should see who is able to inspire us in such a way, please, this is not theoretical, that we can really change something in our life and remain on the spiritual platform. Once John Lennon, a famous musician, asked Srila Prabhupada how to recognize our guru, and Prabhupada said, he who inspires you the most in your Krishna consciousness, he is your guru. Thank you for these wonderful questions. Oh, sorry, I forgot to shake. Sorry, don't become mental. Sita, your bee is very subtly. It shouldn't be shaken so much. She is a lady, so she should be a little careful. What should be right setting of projects? One is highly spiritual, of becoming a real devotee, and another one is material arrangements, which should support our first project to become a real devotee. In order to get free time, association of good devotees and other conditions needed for one's spiritual life. Both projects demand one's full attention and meditation, and I'm not sure how they can work on parallel lines. You know, one is becoming a real devotee, and the other is the support, association, and other good things. Is it enough that whole meditation should be directed to main spiritual projects, hoping that if I really completely give myself to this, everything else will be arranged by Krishna's mercy? It's a very good question, which I would like to answer in the following way. If you want to go to Sridham Mayapur, yes, I want to go. Is it enough to just meditate about Sridhar Mayapur? Dahlia, you are a philosopher. What would you say? I'm sorry, I just threw a ball on you. Yes, it is enough. I would say I also need to meditate how I get there. I must look for an airplane ticket. I must get for the Novats. I must look for the Novats for the airplane ticket, and then I can go there. In the same way, in the Bhagavatam we hear that it's important to directly ask for the goal, that is, what is the spiritual world, what is Krishna? And also we must ask indirectly, that is, what are the obstacles which I had to overcome to get there. In other words, please think about both the goal and the way to the goal. No one can get, for instance, to the goal if he does not have proper association with Vaishnavas. In the association with Vaishnavas, the loving dealing with Vaishnavas, very important aspects of bhakti are coming into our hearts. Sorry, I can't shake it any longer, but I can. Oh, this looks very... Oh. Draginash Maharaj. Pri Britannia Beach Celet. Da ti se savalim. Each dubine svok srecha. Do you understand?
Yeah.
Good. Sa sin inspiration. Drujenosh munoti sinam dao. Oh, this really like. Don't laugh at me, I'm trying my best. I itno sveja. Ito sinam dao naru da I mi moshemo. Poshtashti. Oh, this is impossible. Travi is krini krishniji balte. So, any, you understood? No. What is it? Also, now comes the Imon Negligio Pitanje. Why don't we do like this? Radha Kripa, you are a trained dolmetscher. Please, without becoming proud, read this and explain it to me, the first question. While you do this, you have enough time. I will look for another question. Is it true that there are two kinds of disciples, one which the spiritual master recognizes as his eternal servant, and the other one which the spiritual master accepts to lead in this life? It's a very interesting question. There is one example of the first. Once Rupa Goswami was Rupa Goswami and Sanatan Goswami came to Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. They were ministers. He came late in the night. Both of them were in disguise because the ministers could not be allowed to be seen by outsider people. And they had a piece of straw in their teeth. So they approached the tent where Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was. It was their first meeting with Chaitanya. On the way, they met Haridas Thakur, who was chanting, and Nityananda the Avadhuta. They said, "We are very fallen. You must be Nitai." Nitai smiled at them like a little child and said, "Krishna, Krishna, please bring us to Chaitanya Mahaprabhu." Nityananda said, "Krishna, Krishna." So the two followed Nityananda, the Avadhuta, who was chanting, "Krishna, Krishna." And they came before a personality who had so much light. It was Gauranga. They threw themselves on the ground crying, saying, we are very fallen. We are drowning in the ocean of material life. Please, you are the safe shore. Accept us." Then they said, We want to have your mercy, but we feel like little dwarfs." Dwarfs? Yes. Who wants to catch the moon. So then Chaitanya Mahaprabhu looked at them and he said, "You are my eternal servants." He didn't say the names, but we know the names. Rupa Manjari and Lavanga Manjari. "Please give up your humility because it pains my heart." and then he accepted them as his disciples. This is something very, very extraordinary. It's something which is so spiritual that not all the disciple-guru relationships may be on that level, because we are not Rupa and Sanat, we are not Rupa Manjari and Lavanga Manjari, and our guru is not Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. However, it can happen. Let's say like this. However, the spiritual master will accept a person according to the inspiration which he receives from Krishna. An inspiration whether he can guide this person or not guide this person. When you are rejected by a spiritual master, please don't feel rejected by Krishna. It only means that spiritual master has the feeling he cannot guide you. And you are someone else's disciple. That means someone who can guide you better. So this is the best way I can answer this question. But I don't think it is right to put questions of eternal discipleship into this situation. Let me answer your question in a second way. I think you should look for a spiritual master who can inspire you in your Krishna consciousness by his words and his example, and then approach him in a humble way, and then usually the connection is made by Lord Krishna and by that exalted spiritual master. Spiritual masters take disciples not as a love affair, but as a service to Krishna. In other words, not that they accept someone on the basis of liking or disliking the person, but they accept them on the basis of bringing them to Krishna. You have the question now? Yes, please. One is sufficient. We can take one at a time, and then you can keep it. Speak loud, please, so that everyone can hear.
The devotee, he tells that he feels for already a few years that he can't advance spiritually, so he doesn't know what to do and which way should he choose. So sometimes he feels pain in the heart because of many offenses that he made, and he feels that for this life it is over with his advancement in the spiritual life. So he also says that he doesn't have any taste for the holy name, and his only joy is the association of devotees. So what to do if we lose hope that we can advance further?
Yes. Would you like to say it in? Yeah. In yes. Yeah. Yes. Not so blizzo, slower. Yes, yes.
Osjećam se već nekoliko godina da duhovno ne napredujem. Ne znam šta da radim I kojim putem da krenem. Ponekad osjećam bol u srcu zbog mnogih uvreda koje sam počinio I osjećam se da je za ovaj život gotovo s napredom. Nemam muku za sveto ime, mantram da izmantram, jedino me raduje što imam društvo bhakti. Dakle, šta da radim ako izgubimo nadu da možemo dalje da napredujem?
I think you need a complete overhaul in your life. Overhaul means like when a car is a little damaged, he needs to go in the Reparaturwerkstätte. How do we say? Yes. Yeah. You need a generalka. Yes. Please, see, sometimes the material energy covers us so much that we lose all nada, all hope. But there are things which can give you a lot of hope. For instance, the Inspired Association of Devotees. You can go, for instance, to the Poland Festival with Indradumna Maharaj and join him in the Woodstock Festival. Some good association, chanting for a whole summer, Hare Krishna, and you will again see some hope. My recommendation to you is never give up hope. Always see that under certain favorable circumstances, your spiritual life can come back. Like yesterday, when we were sitting and chanting Hare Krishna. It was nice. We felt some of you were even chanting very loud and clapping their hands. I was surprised. The point is, if you can't win the battle in one situation, it doesn't mean that you can't win it at all. Go in another situation. There's always a situation which is ideal to help you advance in Krishna consciousness. There is always a situation, and pray to Krishna to bring you in this situation, and he will give you the situation where you can pick up new inspirations. If you have made Vaishnav apparats and as a result suffer, then you need to go to these devotees whom you have offended and sincerely request them to excuse you and to do some service for them. Dobrodošli. Maybe you sit here, and you can just study them. Radha Kripa has learned dolmetsching, so it is she is the best person to do this. I have heard that we should pray for something, having full faith that the Lord will fulfill our desire, and that we should act as if it is already fulfilled. Is that correct? And if it is, how can we cross the border in our mind between the present and the wanted state? This devotee wants to know something about when you pray, that you should feel it is already fulfilled, and wants to know if this is correct. This instruction which you have heard comes from the school of positive thinking. In the school of positive thinking, you are actually wanting something, and then you do as if this has been already fulfilled. It is a modern psychological tool which can work all right, but it is not the same as praying for Krishna. When you pray for something to Krishna, it's different than positive thinking. When you pray, you ask the Lord to please help you in some ways, and you wait for signs of his help in your life. Praying means you do not take the life into your own hand. Positive thinking means you take it into your own head. Praying means you surrender to Krishna and ask him to take care of your life. Yes. Loud, yes.
How can we solve the problem of the lust in this material world, but how to solve it completely?
Oh.
Pitanje je kako se rešiti kompletno požudu u ovom materijalnom svetu.
Uh, You must know that love, that lust comes from love. And only if you have love, you can totally become free from lust. A person in love is free from lust. See, what is lust? Lust is only a perverted reflection of love. So how to get out of the perverted reflection? You must come to the original. This is really the only way. Now, on the way, there are some helps. First is the via negativa. When you are lusty, you think about the negative aspects of what you are lusting for. Hare Krishna. In Thailand, the Buddhistic monks, when they are lusty, they go to their superiors. The superior brings them in the cellar where a beautiful sleeping woman is. The monk says, "What? I didn't really want to see a sleeping woman. My fantasy goes wild already." And so the superior then begins to pull the blanket which is covering the beautiful lady down, and the monk goes like, "Oh no, I'm soon gone. I will die from a severe attack of lust." This goes down and down. All of a sudden, when it comes to the parts of the body where the conditioned soul and the male body goes wild over, he sees it. Instead of raised hills, he sees a skeleton. Then the blanket goes more down. He sees lungs, then a stomach, then inside intestines, and they are open, and they don't smell like perfume. This way, and the superior smiles at the monk and says, "See, this is what the female body is when you go 1 millimeter beyond the skin." By the way, the same experiment can be done for ladies with a male body. This is called the via negativa. You see the bad sides. I want to recommend you, when you get lusty, think of the consequences. You have to live together with a person. And because the relationship didn't start on friendship and on common respect, most probably the lusty relationship will turn into a hateful relationship. Then you are bound to this person for a long time. Maybe you have children, and so on. There's only misery waiting. So Narada Muni says, when you are attracted to something material, you must always think about the negative side of it. And then in this way, lose the attraction and think, voila, puno. No need. Another way to over, but this is not the best way to overcome lust. You can only overcome lust efficiently if you change the platform and go to the spiritual platform. For instance, when you see a woman or a woman sees a man, see, this is a spiritual soul. It is a part of Krishna. It is criminal if I see this person in any other way. Especially, the men should see women like this. These women are wonderful personalities. They have come to Krishna consciousness, giving up all material life. They wanted Krishna. We cannot cheat them now by entangling them in a unhealthy relationship. And the women should also see their male devotees as brothers. These are souls who have given up the material life. Let me now support them and not behave in any entangling way. This is the beginning of true love. Can only grow on the grounds of respect. So this is the beginning of love, because it grows on the grounds of respect. And later you can fall in love with Krishna, and then you feel, "Krishna, I want Krishna. I do not want all this other things. Thank you. Sometimes when I read Bhagavad Gita or other spiritual literature, I just feel like I cannot connect with a specific verse in the way that I can apply it and have benefit, because it seems so far away from me, like stairs that I see, but I cannot climb these stairs. So this is a question regarding our little reading exercise this morning. What to do with Shastra and how to connect with Shastra in a way. See, you should see some verses as people with whom you would like to become friends with. Do you sometimes see on the street a person whom you cannot understand, but he looks so nice and so attractive to you? You sometimes, when we are in the car, we drive past and we see, oh, this person, I would love to come close to this person. And maybe sometimes it happens that this person comes close. Maybe he comes to a lecture where you are also there. And then you are a little closer to the person. Then maybe after the lecture, you can carefully start to talk with the person. And then you are even more closer. The verses are like persons. First we see them, and they seem to be so far away, like a person on the street. Then we come closer to the verse in our lives. And later, we begin to really appreciate the verse. There is a verse who is like this to me. I had this verse, Tatenu kampam susumikshamanam. In the beginning, I couldn't understand. The verse says that everything which happens to you happens because you have originated. You have caused the thing to happen. I thought, why, how is this? And later I have learned that this is really so. I'm still getting to know this verse. It says we must take responsibility for what happens to us and at the same time continue to offer obeisances to Krishna with body, mind and words. And the verse says, by this activity, tolerating and accepting responsibility and serving Krishna, you get your ticket in the spiritual world. It's a wonderful verse. I have given a seminar about this in the Serbian summer camp, and I'm still getting to know about this. At this moment, my health is not so good, and I'm thinking about this verse every day. And I'm thinking it's this verse is now already in the same lecture where I'm also sitting. The verse is about 5 meters away from me. I can understand him a little better. But I would like to come, that he comes into Karuna Bhavan and eats with me some nice prasadam, that I really get to know him. So don't worry if you cannot relate to every verse in the beginning. What if we want personal affection of spiritual masters, Shyamapriya? This is your question. Not to be just a part of his service. Is it wrong? Not your question. Congratulations. Is it? So, once again, what if we want person? You made it. Shyamapriya is so relieved. Finally, some advancement. What if we want personal affection of the spiritual master, not to be just a part of his service? Is it wrong? Is it the same in relationship with other devotees and people? So this devotee wants that his spiritual master has a personal affection to him and doesn't just see him as a heavy duty obligation in his service to help him I must serve this person so that he comes to Krishna. I think it is a very natural desire of every one of us to want personal affection of the spiritual master. I think no one of us is satisfied with a discipleship where, oh yes, Prabhupada has to take care of me, because after all, it's his service to Krishna. We want the affection of the spiritual master very much. There's a way to get the affection of the great, of a person. It goes by service. I remember I wanted so much the personal affection of my spiritual master. You cannot imagine. Once, when he came to Amsterdam, I so much envied the devotees who were driving in the same car with Srila Prabhupada to the temple. And I thought, I will somehow sit in the same car with Prabhupada. I will use all my intelligence, material and spiritual together, to get into the car. So this is what I did. The devotees were all greeting Prabhupada in the reception hall of the airport. Only one person was not there. His name was Sachinandan Das. Sachinandan Das was where the luggage of Prabhupada came out of the conveyor belt. And I somehow, I don't know how I identified the luggage. I think I had these marks or something. I got this monster suitcase of Prabhupada. Everything was in there. His books, his translation machine, you know, Grundig, or was it Uher? I was never very strong, but I carried this and brought it to the car. Then the heavy servants of Prabhupada came. Brahmananda, Syama Sunda. I waited before the car and they said, what are you doing here? Well, I'm the authorized luggage carrier of Prabhupada. I have to ride in the same car to the temple as Srila Prabhupada. And I prayed to Krishna that hopefully their intelligence wouldn't be sufficient to find out my trick. So then I went into the car. Then Brahmananda came. What are you doing here? I'm authorized here. I'm the personal luggage carrier of Srila Prabhupada. I've never heard about any personal luggage carrier. You have not heard about everything. Anyway, so I was in Srila Prabhupada's car. I managed to be in Prabhupada's car. You know, Prabhupada was sitting in the front. He was chanting japa. And I was sitting behind him. It was a, how do you say, Volkswagen bus? How do we say Damodar Prem? Kombi. So I was, they were sitting there, and I was in that part of the kombi where there was no sitting place. I was somehow, but I was the personal carrier, and so then I remembered, I looked into the mirror, Prabhupada was here, and I saw Prabhupada. Prabhupada looked very attractive. You cannot imagine, Prabhupada looked so, sometimes devotees have said Prabhupada looked beautiful, and I can understand that in their eyes, Prabhupada looked beautiful, but in my eyes, Prabhupada looked just very charismatic. Charismatic is like a person like Mick Jagger who goes on the stage and everyone goes, woohoo! Because he is so, as such an influence. So in my conditioned view, I saw Prabhupada as very influential and you couldn't look somewhere else. So I began to stare like this in the mirror. Then the first thing I noticed, Prabhupada looked in the mirror and looked at me. I looked back. because it's not polite to stare in someone's face. Then I again look, stare, see me, I'm looking at you, I'm your personal luggage carrier. And Prabhupada then made with his hand like this in the mirror, I shouldn't look in him. This was my first encounter with Srila Prabhupada where I wanted to steal his affection. It didn't work. I was biting on granite. Then, the next time my chance came again, it was in Schloss Rettershof. Somehow I was I was allowed to sit before Prabhupada's door because our devotees would always be very loud. So there was always be one person who would calm everyone down and say, Prabhupada, so that he wouldn't be disturbed. So I was waiting before the door and making, this was my service. Then Satswarup Maharaj came out of the door and said, is there someone who knows to massage Prabhupada? Said Shivananda. But Shivananda was shopping, so Satswarup Maharaj said, can you massage Srila Prabhupada? Now this was my dream, to be close to my spiritual master, to be as intimate as possible. And I said, no, I can't massage. This is absolutely impossible. I'm not able. Then Satswarup Maharaj went in and came back again out and said, you have to massage. So I went in, I was sweating, I was all red. This was my first meeting with the person I loved most, so I became naturally red. And I was shaking. Prabhupada looked at me. What to do with such a person? He's sweating. He's totally disoriented. Then Prabhupada said to me in a very deep voice, just do your service. So then I had to do my service. He taught me how to massage him. And he always said, harder, harder, harder. One thing you must know, all the devotees who have massaged Prabhupada had not been able to figure this one out. Prabhupada was in size small, but he wanted his massage to be done heavy. So we were pressuring, and I went with all my strength. And Prabhupada was just sitting there, just very relaxed. And I thought I would have been... by now, he should have moved, or I would have overrun him or wrestled him to the ground. But Prabhupada was just so strong, and he didn't move. So then, he was... And it was not strong enough for him, my massage. So he was a little... Angry is not the word. A little bit unsatisfied. And he said, what do you do for service? Why are you so weak? And I said, Prabhupada, I'm trying to translate your books. Wow, Prabhupada smiled at me. This is your service. I'm also translating. Prabhupada could surprise us by being so childlike. You know, I'm also translating. And then he asked, almost like you asked a colleague, how many pages a day you do? And I immediately gave my best number, 20 pages. 20 pages, Prabhupada. Really? I'm sorry, this is on my best days. Normally I do between 10 and 12. Prabhupada. It sounds more realistic. He knew he is a translator. He knows how much you can do. So to answer you, this is my own experience in coming close to Prabhupada. I did it the wrong way. You know, like looking at him in the mirror, and then I did it. I think it was the right way. I did it through service, and Prabhupada accepted me. You never know what comes next in the magical box. There is an art. Krishna knows the art. He has learned it in the Gurukul. You take a letter and you know by putting it here what is in the letter. I have no intuition really what is in this letter. Sagunas intasirje kako provodis vijemesa tvojim najboljim prijateljima. Volio bi čuti imena nekid od nji radi nasek pročišćenja. This is correct. Pročišćenja. I've seen this. So, Radha Kripa, what is this question?
The person says that he eagerly wants to know, how do you spend your time with your best friends? He would like to hear the names of some of them because of our own purification.
This is a very private question. When I'm with my best friends, I always think we should make the time which we associate as spiritual as possible. I can tell you one of my very good friends is Burijan Prabhu. His wife was my Vatman Pradaksha Guru. Burijan Prabhu's wife was making a film with Mick Jagger, the famous singer of the Rolling Stones. It was called Ned Kelly or Ted Kelly. It was about an Australian outlaw who was like a Robin Hood of Australia. He was doing many things. No one could capture him, but he was stealing things and doing things, but then distributing it to the poor people. And in this movie, Jagatarini, the wife of Burijan Prabhu, played the main role. So I was at that time a sold-out fan of modern music, and when I heard that this singer did a movie, I went there, had to go there, and I remember I wanted to see the singer, but all I saw was this woman who played the beloved of the singer. I still remember the song because I can always remember music. He was a simple farmer's boy. This was Ned Kelly. But I couldn't get my eyes from this woman. And at first I thought, well, you are now getting into puberty. That's the reason why you can't get. But then I thought, no, I have no such feelings of physical attraction. There's something special about this woman. Later I found out she was chanting Hare Krishna. So she married a devotee who would become my best friend later, one of my best friends. And just this year we met again in Vrindavan. We knew we had a little time. We meet once in a year. We have a few hours. How to engage this time in the best spiritual way? And we decided, we both have a great need to get away from the crowd of people. So we took a taxi and went to Mansarova, the lake of tears, where Radharani cries for Krishna. It's a very, very deep spiritual place. Even it is said, when Krishna left Vrindavan for Mathura, Radharani went there into this lake of tears. And then she just left from there. She went into the earth and then went. This is what the people say there. And we went to this lake of tears and we sat down. We went into under a very nice tree. There was no one there. And we talked about the things which are really on our hearts. We talked about our most intimate desires. We talked about our need to feel the presence of Krishna and Radharani in our lives. Then my friend said, here I have something for you. He got out a very nice prayer to Radharani. We prayed the prayer together. Then my friend asked me, what do you think should I do? I said, would you like to explain your life situation a little better that I can give an advice? Then he explained that there is a difficult decision ahead of him. And if I could help him to give a certain perspective which could help him to make the decision, I said, you are much superior to me. I am only your servant, but this is how I see it. And I gave a very deep, I gave a perspective. Whenever I meet my friends, I'm afraid that our friendship should not come on the social platform where we talk about Draj. It is important for me to do something which binds us together. For instance, with Radhanath Maharaj, he has very little time. But I said to him, I want to show you a holy place which you have never seen before. And then we went together to the sacred place called Suryakund. And I said, now I will be your priest. We will do an arati to Surya Narayan. And here is your incense, here is your givik. And in this way we did things spiritually together. I think for friendships to really work out, you have to do something spiritually together. But you have to be very careful that it does not turn on the material platform. Hare Krishna, thank you for your question. Can you give me your wristwatch? What is the nicest thing that someone did for you in Krishna consciousness? Oh, this is a very... For me personally, oh, many things. The nicest thing I can immediately remember is three devotees from Sarajevo gave me a 490 pages big songbook for birthday. 490 pages. I thought this was the nicest thing which was ever done for me because I like to sing. And 490, I mean, now I really have something to do in life. And to sing all these, to learn the melodies, wow. Nicest thing. Devotees arranged preaching programs for me. This is also nice when we had the program in Litinsky Hall in Sarajevo. I thought this was a very nice thing. Then someone was honest to me by telling me something very truthful. I thought this was very nice. Someone served me at the when I was sick and I couldn't do any service any longer. I thought that was very nice. Someone understood me and understood that the door needs to be closed to my room for a few times, for a few hours. I thought that was very nice. I think everything which is done with a deep mood of affection and understanding, these two things are very important. Affection and understanding. Anything is the nicest thing. Not just affection is enough, but understanding is necessary. Not just understanding is enough, but affection is also must be there. Oh, there's so many good questions still. Oh. Možemo li doštiti mir? No, I can't really read it. It's a little small.
Can we attain peace, happiness, strong faith in Krishna, and at the end, to go back to Krishna through material experience? Možemo li dostići mir, sreću, jaku veru u Krišnu i na kraju vratiti se Krišni kroz materijalno iskustvo?
Material experiences can only help you indirectly. One indirect teaching of material experiences is we can't enjoy here. Another indirect experience of material experience is something very wonderful. Do you know that there are three types of Shiksha Gurus? One is nature. So through material experience, which you gain in nature, you can understand a hint of Krishna. Hint means? Yes. A hint, but you can never understand Krishna through material experiences. The Shiksha Guru nature cannot tell you of Krishna's beauty. Once, I must tell you, Bilva Mangala Thakur, he was at the end of his life, he saw Krishna. And when he saw Krishna, he immediately lamented, "Oh Krishna, I was so offensive. I have compared your beauty with the full moon. But you are so much more beautiful." At this moment, the moon said, "Oh no, I have been compared with Krishna too much." And the moon fell from the sky because it was so ashamed. It fell on the ground, broke in 10 pieces, and the 10 pieces took shelter at Krishna's toenails. So, material examples can never give the full beauty of Krishna, but they can hint. They can hint at the beauty of Krishna, and therefore there can be Shiksha Gurus. The word can be Shiksha Guru, but it can never tell us. When Krishna saw that his dear devotee Bilva Mangala Thakur felt so strongly for him, he came to him and said, "What do you want? You are so wonderful." Bilva Mangala said, "Only one thing. I want to serve you." Then Krishna embraced him. And when Krishna embraced Bilva Mangala Thakur, he took on his original spiritual body as a manjari, and Krishna carried him back home, back to Godhead. Hare Krishna. Yes. We are almost finished now, and some of you are getting restless because you have to prepare for the theater play. Now I will try to go very brisk. How can someone please you the most as your disciple and servant? This is a very personal question which I prefer to not answer because there are not everyone here is my disciple, and I don't want to make it so. I want to include all the devotees in the family, so I will answer this question in a later way. What is the most important thing which should be learned by devotee who wants to come and stay in contact with the Lord in the heart? Oops, this is a difficult level. I need to say it again. Radha Kripa, you will soon, to win some time, you have to translate it. What is the most important thing which should be learned by a devotee who wants to come in contact with the Lord in the heart and stay in contact with Him?
Šta je najvažnija stvar koju bi trebalo da nauči bhakta koji želi da dođe u kontakt sa gospodinom u svom srcu i da ostane u kontaktu sa njim?
This is a very deep question. My answer to you is, if you want to hear the Lord in the heart, you must learn His voice. You must recognize His voice. Recognize His voice. That's not so easy. Often the Lord is silent in the heart. He waits until He answers. Sometimes His voice is very weak. You cannot really hear it. It's so soft. It is very soft, I wanted to say. You cannot really hear it. Often the Lord tests you also. Do you listen to your mind or do you listen to His voice? So you must first of all learn what is the voice of the Lord in the heart. And the easiest way to learn to recognize the voice of Lord Krishna is to read in Shastra. Read regularly in the books and you will find out how the voice of the Lord sounds. Because remember, the Lord's voice is also the Shastra. So after you have purified your intelligence by hearing the Shastras, and this process which you have learned today is helping you very much, you will all of a sudden begin to hear these messages. They will be very soft in the beginning. And it's very, very interesting. Jako, jako interessant, no? Yes. The Lord expects that you follow Him also. When you hear a voice and you ignore it, when you hear a voice and you ignore it, I want to say it again because some of you are not listening. When you hear the voice of Lord Krishna and you ignore it, He will be silent for some time. Oh, He doesn't want to follow. So when you you hear something from Krishna, and Krishna often also will speak through the devotees from outside, then you must do it. Then you will qualify for some new information. So my answer is, learn the voice of the Lord by reading in the Shastra, where He speaks, you know, Krishna speaks in the Gita. These are His words. It's not just some dry knowledge. It's He calls us. He says, think of Me. Think of Me. Do service. Worship Me. And pay your obeisances. This is not dry knowledge. You must do it. So if you do it, you will open a channel and Krishna will speak more. We are now slowly coming to the end of this session. We have one last question. Thank you very much. These are excellent questions. Still all right? Yeah. Dear Sachinanda Maharaj, Hare Krishna. Hare Krishna to you. I am interested in how to understand properly one thing. If the wife is more strict than her husband regarding sadhana, is it possible for her to respect him fully, follow him, and be submissive? How to avoid being critical and harsh? How to see Krishna's hand in that? How to develop a proper sense of tolerance and compassion? Please help. Thank you from all of my heart. Hare Krishna. I will now tell you something about the complicated relationship of man and woman. You will not believe what you hear. I will tell this the first time in my life. I have noticed over many years a certain phenomena, and I was a little unsure if this was really true. So I have made some study and find out also from people who have studied this professionally, that in a relationship of man and woman, one is always stronger. When the man is stronger, the wife is a little weaker. It's somehow they take the opposite roles. If the wife is a little stronger in something, the man is weaker in that same thing. It's never the same. Because it seems that there is some type of karmic competition going on between them. So in a spiritual marriage, a spiritual relationship, when you are stronger than someone, you should not look down on that someone, but you should help that person. Be rest assured, there will be a situation when your mush is stronger than you in something. I don't mean material life. I mean something in regards to Krishna consciousness and can help you. So this is a very, I have always noted, when the wife is very blissful, the man is very, very mental. It's amazing. I'm not saying it to chastise the poor grihastas here who are doing such wonderful service and example in Krishna consciousness. It's a complicated relationship. Oh, Krishna. My tip to you is become sannyasis, but this is obviously not the solution for the problem. It's not a problem. It's just accept it as something natural. And when your husband is not so strong in sadhana, you should not look down on him, but give a nice inspired example, and so on. When you are kind with him and don't look down on him, he most probably will feel inspired and will also pick up his sadhana a little better. This is what I personally think about this subject. I did something very wrong in my life. Many things I did wrong. But one is, I always have the tendency, or had the tendency, to look down on those who didn't have such a strong sadhana as I had. And Krishna showed me that this is very, very wrong. There may be so many reasons why someone doesn't have such a strong sadhana. And please let us learn one thing, to encourage all devotees. If we can learn this art, we will do so much better as a society. Many people will come to join us And, you know, we have to start encouraging in our marriage life, you know, to the people who are closest to us. Hare Krishna. So there are many, many more questions. Your questions were so ecstatic, I almost lost my voice by becoming so loud from ecstasy. What I will do with these questions is, I will take them with me, I will read all of them on the airplane, and when I come to the next deities, I will pray to the deities that your questions will be answered in the heart. Lord Krishna is in the heart of everyone, and he will certainly answer your questions. Now please, I'm very truthful about it. I'm not saying it to escape my responsibility to answer them all. I read them and pray to the deities. And sometimes this works even better than my two kuna worth of answers. Kuna is a Croatian, the Croatian dollar. So I would suggest that we make a little pause now, and then we will come for the theater. Please, come here that everyone sees you.
Dear Guru Maharaj, dear devotees, please accept our most sincere and most humble obeisances. Now, with big letters, for the very important. Thank you because you exist. Without you and your mercy, we are only two hopeless cases. Your sincere servants, Madhav Muni and Kishore.
They don't only address it to me, to you also.
Dear Guru Maharaj.
Dragi Bhakti, yes. Please say in Croatian, and whatever it is, Serbian.
Dragi Guru Maharaj, dragi Bhakti, primite naše najiskrenije i najponiznije poštovanje. Sa velikim slovima, hvala vam što postojite. Bez vas i vaše milosti, mi smo samo dva beznadežna slučaja, vaši iskreni sluge, Madhva Muni i Kishore. Because when they were leaving, all the devotees went out and made a beautiful kirtan.
Yeah. Wonderful. I would suggest that Boyane will go with a gong. You can inform Boyan, and then Boyan will sound his gong so that you all come. Yeah. Hare Krishna, yes. So please.